welcome to Awani Global. I'm Saraya Mia. Now today we have a very special guest. Germany, on October 3rd, on the Tuesday, has celebrated the Day of German Unity, a national holiday celebrated yearly in Germany. Now to speak about the significance of Day of German Unity, as well as the long-standing ties between Germany and Malaysia, and how both nations could better strengthen the ties in business, economy, as well as geopolitics, I will be speaking to the ambassador of Germany to Malaysia, His Excellency, Dr. Peter Blumeyer. Thank you so much for joining us, and guten Abend.
Selamat petang.
It's a pleasure to be meeting you today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Right, so to kick off our conversation, Day of German Unity. Maybe you could share to our viewers, what is the history of Day of German Unity, and what is the significance of this national holiday to Germany, to the European Union, as well as to the rest of the world?
Well, Germany has been divided after World War II, and there was West Germany, which was a free democracy, and there was East Germany, which was part of the Soviet bloc. And for 40 years, we had a cruel border running through our country. It was called the Death Stripe, with self-shooting devices, with mines. And we had the wall in Berlin, separating even the city of Berlin. And in 1989, on the 9th of November, a sort of miracle, political miracle, happened. Because the people in East Germany stood up and overcame this wall. And they took the communist regime by surprise and paved the way for German unity. And German unity was achieved on the 3rd of October 1990. And this is now our national holiday. So it's a very young holiday, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's called Day of German Unity, because East and West Germany united. Now, this had repercussions all around the globe, I dare say, because also the communist regimes in other Eastern European countries crumbled. And eventually, these countries like Poland or the Czech Republic, the Baltic states, they could also accede to the European Union. Mm-hmm. And dictatorships all around the world found an end because most of the time they were supported by one of the major players, by the West or by the communist bloc. And with the end of the Cold War, it was not necessary to have proxies anymore. Mm-hmm. So that was a time of great hope that democracy and human rights would win all over the world. And in Germany, it truly was a moment of joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, you know, when you talk about the history of Day of German Unity, it sounds like it means a lot, not only to Germany, as well as the rest of the world. But just to take a little bit of a step back, you know, in Malaysia, we're a very multiracial, multicultural country. Perhaps what can a country like us, you know, learn from the unity between the East and the West of Germany?
I believe that unity actually for a people is a challenge. It is a challenge which each generation has to cope with. Achieving political unity in 1990, we did not yet have the unity of the people between East and West, because East and West had taken very different developments then for 40 years. So one task for us was also to achieve this inner unity. We were talking about the wall in Berlin. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, we talked about the wall in the head that we still think as East Germans or West Germans. We needed quite some time to overcome this and really to become one people. And I think this might also be true for Malaysia. In Malaysia, you have different ethnicities who live together, who have found a way to live together, which has sometimes also caused difficulties. And I think that it is worthwhile to look after what unites you more than what separates you, mm-hmm. and how you can achieve unity, how you can live together with the other ethnicities in harmony, in peace and harmony. Yes, unity is not something which you get at a point and then you have it, but it is something which you have to achieve in each generation again.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about, you know, the wall of Berlin and the wall in your head, I really, really like that point. And I guess, you know, it takes time to actually break the wall down completely and to learn to live in a unified state. But it's definitely possible, as we can see, even in Germany, celebrating Day of German Unity annually. But let's talk about the bilateral relations between Malaysia and Germany. Now, both countries have actually enjoyed good relations for many years, dated back to even the 1991 and even beyond. So how would you actually describe the ties between Germany and Malaysia?
They are very cordial and they are very friendly. Germany recognized Malaysia on day one, on Merdeka Day, ever since we have diplomatic relations. And this was demonstrated this very year when our president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, paid a visit to your beautiful country. And it was a three-day visit. He went to Penang, to Kuala Lumpur, and to Sarawak. And I think that underlined the strength of our bilateral relations. They are founded mainly on the economy. We have more than 700 German companies mm-hmm. operating here. There's a strong bond that even dates back to the 19th century. Mm-hmm. We had already German companies here. And this, of course, is a cornerstone of our relations. Mm-hmm. But it is not limited to that. The German government has issued its policy guidelines for the Indo-Pacific, which Malaysia is a part from. And we strive for deepening and for enlarging our relations to Malaysia on all fields which you can think of. We want to cooperate with Malaysia in multilateral fora. We want to cooperate on stability and security in the region. The environment and the protection of nature is very important to us. We would like to exchange our views on democracy, on the rule of law, on human rights. And of course, the economy is also important. Now, new forms like digitization, connectivity, these are also for the future things which we want to go ahead with Malaysia together. And last but not least, also culture, education, science. There we also have actually already a strong cooperation. We have bonds between 114 universities on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Before we get started into, you know, business, education, cultural relations, you know, between Germany and Malaysia, I've actually heard that you chose to be posted in Malaysia personally. So tell us why you prefer Malaysia.
True. Well, I think Malaysia has an exotic appeal for Germans. I have heard about your history, about the Sultanate in Malacca, about dream beaches and the jungle, about the different ethnicities, how they live together. I have heard about this marvelous food. And then I thought that's a perfect place to go and to discover. Also, Malaysia is not very well known. There are some cliches in Germany about Malaysia. Yes, I just mentioned them, actually.
Right.
I know that Malaysia is much more than I imagined it to be then. But I was wishing to find out about Malaysia. I mean, there are also cliches of Malaysians about Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Germany is not just football and high tech.
Oh, right.
there is more to it also, which Malaysians can discover about Germany.
Yes, there's definitely a lot more to discover between two countries. And that's why traveling traveling through education, traveling for fun as well, is also a very great way to learn the cultural exchanges. Now, you have mentioned, Ambassador, about the German companies in Malaysia. There's about 700 earlier you mentioned. And of course, we know that mainly it's in the semiconductor industry, the tech industry. But when it comes to diversifying German businesses in Malaysia, what are the sectors that both countries could look at, especially as we're heading towards, you know, or we're in the era of green and digital transformation?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, we have our standard productions like of automotives, E&E, semiconductor. We also are strong in Malaysia in medical devices. But now, as you said, the green technology becomes more and more important with the energy transition. You have a national roadmap for that, and German companies can come in and be very helpful for that. Mm-hmm. For instance, solar industry, also, for instance, companies which are good in waste to energy technologies or creating biogas. We have companies which are in the lead when it comes to producing green hydrogen. So there is a number of other fields which we could also invest in. And actually, we are at a turning point because companies in Germany know now they have to diversify. That has to do with the repercussions of the war Russia is waging against Ukraine. And so we have thought over, should we not go and diversify and go into many countries instead of just one or two? Mm-hmm. We have a strong dependence on China at the moment. Mm-hmm. Many companies think of, going also elsewhere. It's not that they want to leave China, but they think that they also should go and invest elsewhere. And there, I think Malaysia is a very good place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is considered to be a very good investment location by German companies. It has a strong infrastructure. It has a skilled workforce, which is speaking English, which is very important.
Right.
It has a good legal system. And it has a friendly environment in administration and politics for companies.
Mm-hmm.
There are also other things which we can talk about, also
never
challenges,
ending.
Of course.
Challenges,
but,
yes.
Yeah, but actually, we have a lot of demands of companies in Germany requiring us to report about Malaysia and explain Malaysia because they are considering to come here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you mentioned challenges, right? I mean, of course, there's a lot of potential for investments between the two countries. But I guess, there's always the opportunity of more jobs being provided when German companies open and operate in Malaysia. And that's more jobs for Malaysians as well. But how can Malaysia sort of, you know, have a sustainable talent development to appeal more, to make the country more attractive to German companies?
Well, I think one element should be education, TVET.
Mm-hmm.
We have already established the German-Malaysian Institute 30 years ago in this country. That was in the 90s. It was supposed to bring the German dual system to Malaysia, that young people can work in companies, get a contract with the companies, but will also be trained in the companies. With the older workers there, they show them on the job, they train them on the job, and at the same time, these young people go to school and learn the specifics about their job. That's the dual system in Germany. It has highly contributed in creating a very skilled labor force in Germany. And Malaysia was interested in that time also to introduce this here. But unfortunately, there are not very many Malaysian companies participating at it. Actually, there are almost none.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just the German companies operating here who have contracts with these young people. And I could only encourage Malaysian companies to participate. Maybe one could start with the government-linked companies. That would be a way to also to have a workforce in the future which is very close to the needs of companies. Mm-hmm. Because now when people come from universities, yeah. they are not really fit to start working in a company and have mm-hmm. to be trained then there again. So that's one point. Another point which is very important for our companies now is that they get green energy. Because they are all obliged to watch their carbon footprint and their mother companies in Germany look for that. And the supply of green energy in Malaysia, I think for German companies, it's important that this will be treated as a priority.
Right.
There is the national energy transition roadmap, I think that it has to be pursued with vigor. Mm-hmm. A third point which companies are complaining about sometimes is this is a market entry barrier. Approved products or something like that. This means that companies which want to export to Malaysia, they have to cooperate with the Malaysian company. Mm-hmm. That is obligatory for most products. And of course, it is then hindering the mm-hmm. The market entry. I think it was a part of a policy also to protect Bumiputra. Uh-huh. But I think maybe after so many years, it could be thought over.
Now let's talk more about, you know, the bilateral relations, but more on the alliances. So Germany is part of the European Union, or EU, and Malaysia is part of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. With a lot of agreements going on right now, what do you think that both alliances should prioritize immediately?
I believe that both alliances have to become aware of how much they have in common, how much common ground they actually have. It has been talked about it, we even managed to achieve a strategic partnership that was in December 2020, not so long ago. But I think that there are so many things which we can do together. Why? Because there are some similarities between our respective alliances. We all heavily depend on trade. Mm-hmm. We all stand in for the United Nations system. We want international order based on law, on international law, a rules-based order. We want freedom of navigation. There are many fields which there are common interests of both alliances, and I think cooperation also in international fora could be deepened between us. Of course, economy, connectivity, digitization, Industry 4.0, Internet of Things. These are areas where we can cooperate. But now also the environment becomes increasingly important.
Absolutely.
We are all worried about the state of our planet. We have the climate change. We have droughts. At the same time, we have heavy rains, erosions. I think that protection against these catastrophes is also an area where we could cooperate. So, climate change, also protection of biodiversity, which is a topic in Malaysia, I think these are fields where we should deepen our cooperation. Mm-hmm.
So how do you think, when we talk about protection of biodiversity and climate change, there are, you know, some certain regulations in the EU, and then there's also Malaysia, who has our own regulations. Where do you think we both could, you know, meet in the middle and then find a common ground to work together to better protect our planet?
Well, we have all committed to the Paris goals, and I think we should pursue them together. That means an energy transition will be necessary, but it also comprises all parts of the economy and even of private households. It's not just the energy transition, but it's the industry which has to decarbonize. It's agriculture. Mm. It's also construction. If you look at construction, so much energy is wasted there because houses or even skyscrapers, they are not isolated properly. And I think that is something which we need to do in order to achieve our Paris goals. If we stick to that, I think that is already a lot of common ground, and we have already achieved agreement on this. In Europe, we have now several mechanisms. One is the carbon adjustment mechanism. That is to say that companies in the future will be obliged.
Hmm? It's carbon tax, right?
Yeah, it is a carbon adjustment border mechanism. That's what it is called. That is to see if companies decarbonize in Europe, and they have the respective costs for their products, then they shall be not be exposed to other companies from abroad who will not meet these standards. So this is something which I think is understandable, but will also give a push to maybe to other countries to also do their homework in terms of the Paris goals. Mm-hmm. And this is something where we can actually cooperate. We talked about the German companies which are active in green tech and which could come to Malaysia and also cooperate with Malaysian companies here. This is something I think we need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's definitely a lot where both countries could actually improve in terms of going green, because as we can see, there's global warming is real. Everyone feels it. But we have just about 1 to 2 minutes left. I would just like to scratch on, you know, a little bit more on the alliances, EU and ASEAN. With many of the conflicts happening globally, as we can see, the Russian-Ukraine war, and then there's also the US-China tensions, and within ASEAN there's the Myanmar crisis. What could maybe both alliances learn from each other to perhaps tackle these conflicts and then these wars in a way to promote peace?
I believe that our common denominator is the UN system. And the UN system foresees that we all refrain from the use of force in international relations. And now we have a situation of a flagrant breach of this obligation by a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, which is Russia, waging an unprovoked war of aggression against a neighbor, Ukraine. And I think it is necessary to condemn this unequivocally, and exactly that was what your prime minister did very recently in the General Assembly, which we are very grateful for. I think that is a very good example. Coming to the tensions between the US and China, I think that we also should work on diffusing this tension and working on more détente, on more activities by both countries to refrain from escalation. Mm-hmm. This is something which I think the European Union as ASEAN both want. But then on the other side, we also need to see who is occupying atolls in the South China Sea and who is building up new islands and putting their military on it. That's China, and that's not the US, so you cannot also put look at them equally. That is at least our point of view. But we should try to defuse these tensions. And in Germany, we are not talking of decoupling, which is a term which means that that you have to decide either for China or, mm-hmm. or for the US. We prefer the term de-risking. Mm-hmm. De-risking meaning that you do not put your eggs in one basket, that you are not focused on just one country, but that you diversify. And that is also something which I think is advisable for Malaysia, because Malaysia is also impacted heavily by China now and by the digression in Chinese economy. And I would like to call onto Malaysia also to look west, to look to Europe and find partners there.
Yes, we will definitely be looking on all sides. As you mentioned, you know, decoupling is probably not the best. So that's what Malaysia's stand has always been, to not pick sides, but in fact, put our eggs in all the baskets. But that is all the time we have today. Thank you very, very much, Your Excellency. I was speaking to the German ambassador to Malaysia, His Excellency Dr. Peter Blumeyer, and that was Awani Global. I'm Soraya Mia, and we'll see you again in the next episode.